Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Joshua. We have been moving through the book of Joshua, and today we come to the 20th chapter of the book of Joshua. We're going to just read a few verses. We'll be dealing with the entire chapter. Joshua chapter 20, beginning in the beginning. The Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, take your word. I pray, God, that you would move into our hearts, and Father, draw us to Jesus this day. Father, I ask that you would accomplish your will in each individual listening today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've seen Israel come into the promised land. They have had to fight battles. They fought battles to the south. They fought battles to the north. They have now pretty much settled the fact that the promised land is now theirs. God gave it to them. They have now possessed it. What a blessing it is to know that God has given each of us gifts. God has given us blessings. God has given us many, many blessings in our lives. And we can possess those, and we can hold them as our own, and no one can take them away. Now, as they began to settle out cities in the Holy Land, they set out 48 cities that would be places where the Levites would dwell. Now, the Levites were the guys that did all the work to keep the sacred movements going. They were the ones that prepared for sacrifices. They were the ones that cleansed the temple areas. They were the ones that kept things moving toward God. Six cities were set apart and called cities of refuge. Now, these became very important to them, and it's very important to us. A city of refuge was a place that you could go and be safe if you had accidentally killed someone. In those cases, you could move to that city and no one could touch you if you were there. If a person accidentally killed someone, they could go to the city of refuge and they would not be harmed. The Bible teaches us that we need a refuge. The reality is there is a sacredness to human life. Our world has kind of missed this somewhere. We have gotten to the day that we think lives are throwaways. We don't really train up children as they should go in our world the way that they should be. We don't really stand by children all the way through life. We don't come in and help families as we should. We don't point everybody to God, the only one who can help them in this old world, as we should. And as a result, our social world is crumbling around us. You need to understand, life, every life is important. And every life is so important that God said that if you take a life, there needs to be a discipline for that. And so in Genesis 9:6, we have this: "Whoso sheds a man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God, God made man." God is saying that life is so precious that the only penalty you can give for someone who, with premeditation, takes a life is for their own life to be forfeited. God set that up. I want you to know that God set that up not to do away with a life, but because life should be protected. And so, very unashamedly, unapologetically, I want you to know that at Northside Baptist Church, we are against abortion. Abortion is the murder of a child. And we stand against murder. Now, I understand in saying that, that there may be some people before me that have had an abortion. And I want you to know, we're not coming down on you. We're not against you. God has this wonderful plan of forgiveness and a way to restore and rebuild your life. But we need to make it clear in a world that thinks it's okay to slaughter babies that it's not okay. You know, the devil is so slick. It was that you had to have a doctor and you had to go through a procedure and then the baby could be aborted. Now they have come up with a way that you take a pill and the baby can be aborted. Let me ask you, if someone came up with a pill and said you could get rid of the boss you don't like, would that be okay? What if they came up with a spouse pill? You know, you just don't worry about divorce. Here, honey, I got this for you. It's ridiculous. So why do we think it's okay to take a pill and kill a child? Every life is precious. Abortion is wrong. Suicide is wrong. I know people's hearts go out anytime they hear of a suicide, and our hearts should go out. There's a very troubled individual that has brought themselves to that spot, but I want to be really clear about this. Suicide is the most selfish act a person can commit. It does not take into consideration the damage that is left behind. It does not take into consideration the hurt and grief that people sometimes never, ever get over. No, suicide is wrong. Murder is wrong. To take another life is wrong. Now, just to be clear, because somebody's going to say, well, what about going to war? When you go to war, you're representing a government, you're representing a body of people, and hopefully you're representing right. And God distinguishes between murder and war. In every case, murder is looked on as wrong. But the Bible understands that there needs to be justice, and there needs to be justice in every situation. And so God makes a distinction between premeditated murder and an accidental slaying or involuntary manslaughter. And God has thought through this process so well that he has made a way for someone who accidentally takes a life not to forfeit their own. Now God's way of dealing with this involuntary manslaughter is in this passage, and it's in this thing called a city of refuge. It's so important. It's spoken about in four books of the Bible. It's an important thing for us to know that God is for justice, but it's also important for us to know that this applies to us spiritually. All the Bible is about Jesus. We have hymnals you can see some of them in the chairs there. The hymnals are tucked away. They have hymns of the faith in them, and we used to sing out of hymn books. Well, let me tell you, whether you sing out of a hymn book or not, this whole book is about him. And we need to understand that. And God teaches us about himself in the Bible. In Luke 24, it says he expounded unto them, Jesus expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. All the lessons of scripture points to Jesus. From Genesis to Revelations, the book points to Jesus. And so the cities of refuge are to teach us something very important about our spiritual stance in Jesus. These are really a beautiful picture of what we have in Jesus Christ in salvation, of what we have in Jesus in security and hope, of what we have in Jesus that will keep us safe, not only in this world, but in the world to come. The Apostle Paul uses a phrase often to talk about Christians. He says, Christians are in Christ. That's a great phrase. Today, everybody in this room, everybody listening, is either in Christ or you're not in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're in your sin. If you're in Christ, you're not in your sin. You're in Christ. That phrase refers to our refuge as a believer. When we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are saved. We are in Christ. We are safe in Christ. We are sheltered from danger in Christ. We have strength for what we face in this world in Christ. Hebrews 6 says this, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. That verse very clearly says that when you come to Jesus, you come to a refuge. You come to a place of safety, a place of protection, a place of hope, a place of rest, and a place of blessings. I want you to know there is needed refuge. In verse 3, that the slayer that kills any person unaware, accidentally, unwittingly, has hope. If a person accidentally killed someone, this is what they were supposed to do. As soon as you realize what you have done, you drop everything and you run as fast as you can to a city of refuge. They set up six of them all around Israel. Now, Israel is not that big. So six cities can pretty much give you access fairly quickly. Even though some of them may be still several miles away, there's a place of refuge close to you. We are told that by Israeli writers that there were roads that were kept up that led to the cities of refuge. There were signs on those roads that pointed people in the right way to get to refuge. We have the word refuge. They had the word miklat. Miklat in Hebrew, refuge. And so those miklat signs were pointing people to get to the place of refuge. There would be no mistake. There would be an opportunity if you had taken a life accidentally, you could get to that place where you could be safe. They even had runners that were on those roads that were there to help you make your way to the city of refuge. And they were there watching day and night so that they might find someone that was in need, someone that was distressed, someone that was horrified by what they had done, and they might help that individual to get to the place where they would be protected. On the western side of Israel, all the city of refuge were on hills or mountainsides so they could be easily seen. What if you got there and it was closed? Well, that wouldn't be very good. So the cities of refuge were always open. Anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you could get into a city of refuge. Now, what in the world does that have to do with me spiritually? Well, I'm glad you asked. God has made a way to keep us safe from the action of our sins. God has made a way to keep us safe from the judgment we deserve for our sins. You do understand there is a judgment for sin. The Bible is very clear that if you die in your sin, you will spend eternity in a place called hell. It's not a pleasant place. It is a place of torture. It is a place of judgment. It is a place of fire. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I'm the way. You come to me, I'm the refuge. Jesus said, I am the door, or I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved. If anybody enters by Jesus, they have refuge. You see, our road to salvation has been prepared, and salvation is your refuge from eternal damnation. Jesus is open to everybody that will come to him for safety. I want to be real clear about that. Jesus is open to anyone who will come to him for salvation. There are those today that are teaching what I believe to be a heresy, that Jesus only came for a few. My Bible tells me that Jesus came for all. For God so loved the world, that doesn't leave any out. And so Jesus came and he laid down his life for you to have refuge and for me to have refuge from a punishment that we deserve. Those of us who are saved have a responsibility to help other people get saved. Those of us that have found safety in Jesus should be helping other people find safety in Jesus. We're to be like the sign. We should have t-shirts that say Miklak, you know, and just point people to Jesus. We should be like the runners, just ready to go, ready to tell anyone that we see that doesn't know how to get to Jesus, how they can get to Jesus. Jesus is the only way to salvation. They are not going to find God in any other way. Who's going to tell them if we do not? So you have this slayer, and they've committed an act that they didn't mean to do. And they've got to get to the city of refuge. Why? The passage tells us about the avenger of blood. When a family member was murdered, the next of kin became the avenger of blood. Now, very plainly, if you kill my brother, I become the avenger of blood, and it is my duty to seek you out until judgment is laid on you and you are dead. The avenger of blood. When a family member fell in death, someone had to fight for that, for their honor. Now, you would pursue them as an avenger of blood until you saw them dead in the ground. Spiritually, the law of sin and death is our avenger of blood. I don't know if you know this or not, but death is seeking you out. Death is on your trail. Some of us can probably see death over our shoulder. It seems pretty close. Here is the slayer accidentally kills somebody, and here's the avenger of blood in hot pursuit. The illustration, if you will, they're out gleaning a field. They have a sickle, which is a long pole with a blade on the end of it, and they're cutting the wheat. And so in cutting the wheat, a fellow becomes a little overzealous, slings the sickle back. The blade flies off the end and goes into the chest of someone standing nearby, killing them. Oh my, what a horror. An unexpected thing. It wasn't meant at all. And it takes the person that's done this deed a minute to realize what has happened. Well, they're not the only people in the field. Over in the corner of the field, gleaning away, is the next of kin to the one who died. And he kind of sees it out of the corner of his eye, doesn't really know what's happened, but it looks like somebody's been hurt. So it takes the next of kin a while to figure out what's happened. Immediately when the slayer realizes what he has done, he is to drop everything and hightail it, get as fast as he can to a city of refuge. Immediately, as soon as the next of kin realizes what has happened, his task is to immediately pursue the one who killed his next of kin and kill him. There is a race going on. Who's faster? Who will get to the city of refuge first? If the slayer gets to him first, then he is a goner. What a high-speed chase. If you are lost, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, may I tell you, you need to run because you're in danger. If you have never received Jesus as your Savior, you need to run to the place of refuge. There is an avenger of blood on your trail. And if you die in your sins, you will face the judgment for your sins. Oh, how a refuge is needed. And then we find a nested refuge, verse 6. And he shall dwell or nest in that city. Now, the cities aren't far, but one can be several miles away. In fact, you might have to run all day in order to get to a city of refuge. And all that time, the avenger could be gaining. What if you're not that much in shape, but the avenger of blood's on the track team? What if they're just faster than you are? Oh my, it's a scary situation to be in. You just got to get to the city of refuge. You got to go as fast as you can't stop. Oh no, you can't wait, can't take a break. Got to get to the city of refuge. He runs until he sees the city. It's up on a hill. Oh, I've got to run uphill to get there. As he's going uphill, he looks over his shoulder, and there's the next of kin, the avenger of blood, coming up the hill after him. Can he make it? I don't know. It's getting fast. It's getting dangerous. He's almost within an arm's length. He can feel the arm just swinging, trying to grab him as he falls into the gate of the city of refuge. And he stands up, and he dusts himself off, and he looks around, and there is the avenger of blood standing at the gate on the outside. He can't come in to get him. He can't take his life. Why? Because he's good? No. Because he did the right things, well, he got to the city of refuge. And because of where he is at, the avenger of blood cannot get him. Spiritually, my friend, when we sin, we fall away from God, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's all of us. In our sin, we deserve death and hell. We deserve that kind of punishment. The only way to escape that type of punishment is to be in the city of refuge, and that is to be in Jesus Christ himself. We need to come to Jesus. The penalty of sin is death, for the wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. Oh, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our city of refuge is there. We just have to come into Jesus. When you come into Jesus, sin's penalty doesn't have dominion over you anymore. When you come into Jesus, sin's judgment doesn't have dominion or power over you anymore. Because Jesus died and rose again, sin can't take you to hell. Because Jesus died and rose again, listen, death may take you physically, but it can't keep you. As Jesus rose from the dead, my friend, believers, there is life beyond the grave, and there is a heavenly home that is steadfast and sure that God has prepared for all those who die in Christ, in the refuge. Oh, how foolish it would be not to get into God's refuge. Well, how long can I stay there? That's a pretty good question. How long can I stay? I know the avenger of blood is camped out right outside the gate. How long can I stay? If I can only stay 24 hours, well, I got a problem in the morning. How long can I be there? Verse 6 says, until he stand before the congregation for judgment. How long can you be in the city of refuge? Till judgment day. Now, at the gates of the city of refuge, there were elders that would come and they would hold a trial. And the avenger of blood would be able to give evidence, and there would be evidence by the one who is convicted or one that's on trial, and they would have that trial. If the person was convicted of murder, it's not accidental homicide, it's murder, guess what would happen? He's kicked out of the gates. If he's kicked out of the gates, guess who's waiting for him? The avenger of blood. Don't want to get kicked out of the gates. If you are guilty before God, can I tell you something? You can never be kicked out of the gate. The real trial that a person goes through is the trial before God in glory. If they had committed an involuntary manslaughter, they were safe as long as they were innocent. There's a difference in our trial. You see, someone that accidentally kills somebody knows that they accidentally killed somebody. They didn't know they were going to kill somebody. It just kind of happened. They didn't mean for it to happen. It just kind of happened. We can't say that, can we? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The truth is, I have sinned and you have sinned, and we have sinned by accident sometimes, but we have sinned by choice sometimes. We have a sin nature, and we follow that sin nature, and that sin nature takes us away from God. If we get what we deserve, we would die and be on our way to hell. Remember on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The people involved in the crucifixion didn't really know what they were doing. They really didn't know who they were crucifying. In Acts 3, Peter says, through ignorance they crucified him. In 1 Corinthians 2:8, Paul said, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, we need a Savior. We need a refuge. But we know that we have sinned. And you know what our sin did? You may think your sin's not so bad. Have you forgot the other sin? The other sin. Do you know that your sin caused Jesus to die on Calvary's cross? Your sin. Had yours been the only sin, you had been the only sinner, Jesus would have died there in order to save you from that sin. To give you refuge, Jesus had to die. You're guilty of his murder, as am I. The greatest sin. We need a Savior. We need a refuge. If you know Jesus died because of your sin and you reject the refuge he has offered you by his own blood, then you have no hope. That's why we get serious about this. How long could they stay? They could stay till Judgment Day. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus is not only our refuge, he took our judgment. You see, we don't have to worry about Judgment Day because we've already had Judgment Day. We were judged guilty and Jesus paid the penalty. We don't have to worry about the penalty. Jesus went to Calvary for our penalty. A child of God will never stand before the great white throne judgment. We will not, because Jesus has already taken our condemnation. And the Bible says there is no condemnation left for us. It was all poured out on Jesus. So how long can we stay? Till judgment comes, but judgment has already come. It's not going to come again for believers. Now, if you die in your sin, you still have a judgment to face. Verse 6 says it could stay till the death of the high priest. Well, this is another provision here. You come into the city, if the high priest dies, it's time to get out. When you come to the city of refuge, you're given a place to live. When you come to the city of refuge, you're given a trade. You're taught a trade to do. You're prepared to be there for a while. But if the high priest dies, all that goes away and you're booted out. Well, do we have a high priest? Oh, yes, we do. His name is Jesus. Do we have to worry about the high priest dying? No, he already has. And he's not going to die again. When he rose from the grave, he arose forever and will not go back to the grave. He will never die again. And because our high priest lives forever and ever, how long can we stay? Forever and ever in his refuge. Safe from the penalty of our sin. We are secure in the city of refuge till judgment, and Jesus has taken the judgment. We're secure until the high priest dies. Jesus will not die again. We're secure for all time. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms." He's your refuge. He's your peacemaker. He is your keeper. And if you happen to fall, under you is his everlasting arms to catch you. In Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. He is always there to help you, to pick you up. I am saved. Saved. I have a needed refuge. I am nested in that refuge. And then we see a named refuge. These six cities, they were given special names. Those names apply to us as well. There is the name Kadesh. Kadesh means righteousness. The only way you get into heaven is to have righteousness. We don't have any. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We need righteousness. We don't have righteousness. What are we going to do? Oh, we can go to Kadesh. Jesus gives us his righteousness as he takes our sin away. Or we can go to Shechem. Shechem means shoulder. Do you remember the shepherd that had the sheep and it had 99? One went astray and he left the 99 to go after the one. And remember when he found it, he put the sheep on his shoulder to make sure it was safe and got safely back home. And everyone rejoiced with him that his lost sheep was found. Oh, you get to the city of refuge and Jesus will carry you on his shoulder, protecting you, making sure that you are safe. Oh no, I don't have to fear hell. I don't have to fear the devil. Jesus has got me on his shoulder. Hebron, fellowship. Oh, most people never think of God. Some never even cry out to God. But we have fellowship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Bezer, stronghold. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and are safe. Jesus is our stronghold. He won't drop us. He won't let us go. Ramoth, the heights. How high you want to go. How high you want to go. In this world, you go to mountaintop to mountaintop. But oh, listen, I'm aiming for higher than this world. I'm aiming for the streets of gold. I'm aiming for glory land. I plan to be in heaven one day, not because I deserve it, but because Jesus is going to take me all the way to Ramoth. To the highest heights. And then Golan. Golan means joy. Joy for now, joy for the future. The joy of the Lord is my strength. How do you get righteousness? How do you get God's protection? How do you get the fellowship with God? How do you get his stronghold that will protect you? How do you get Ramoth, the heights? How do you get Golan, joy to live in this world? You come to Jesus. Those cities were pretty close, spread out, six all over the nation. But salvation is closer. All you have to do is cry out to Jesus. If you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, this is the day. This is all for you, so you can come and know Jesus as your Savior. If you've ever, as a believer, wondered, oh, can I fall away from God and be lost? Is it possible that even though I know Jesus, that I may end up in hell? Oh, no, my friend, because you're in Christ in the city of refuge, and Jesus won't let you go. If you're a believer, isn't it time you committed yourself to tell others, to point others the way that they might find refuge in Jesus? God calls you to a decision today. If you don't know him, come to know him. Just walk down an aisle and say, I want Jesus. We'll pray together and Jesus will come into your heart this very day. Let Jesus have his way in your life. Believer, maybe you need to come to the altar and ask God to forgive you and ask God to set you right back on the path to help you to point others in the right direction. God calls you to a decision. Will you make it? Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask right now that you would move within our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, listening are some that have never met Jesus, have never surrendered their heart to Jesus. Father, they are lost. And Father, they need a refuge that they can only find in Jesus. Let them be willing to come to you today. Just say, I want Jesus. To ask you to forgive them, to save their soul today. Oh Lord, give them the refuge they need in this moment. For believers, Father, that we would commit ourselves anew to stand with you, to stand for you, to point others to you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Will you come as we sing?